Today we're continuing our sermon series, Christmas Interrupted, and for many of us, our Christmas plans this year have been interrupted. We've put on hold many of our favorite traditions. We're sad that there are many things that we can't do, but we also have the opportunity to reimagine our Christmas traditions, and perhaps we can create some new rituals that help us celebrate the birth of Christ and connect us to God. One meaningful ritual that we can turn to, no matter where we are, is to read and meditate on the story of Jesus' birth that's found in the Gospels. And I invite us to do just that. This morning, we'll listen to one part of that story, the part that involves how Mary responded to the news that she would conceive and give birth to the Son of God. After the angel Gabriel had shared the news with her, she made a visit to her cousin Elizabeth. And this story is found in Luke chapter 1. I'll read verses 39 through 55. Now, if you have your own Bibles, I invite you to turn to that passage of Scripture now. But let's listen to our Scripture reading. Again, this is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Amen." Christmas is a season full of rituals, of activities that we do year after year. In normal times, the church calendar is full of activities that help us prepare for Christmas and celebrate the joy of this season. Now, typically, our church calendar is full of great events, and the first event on that calendar is the decorating of gingerbread houses for our families. And then there's a Christmas dinner gathering, a cookies and carols event, and lots of Christmas parties for Sunday school classes, the choir, and many other small groups. We also have a number of rich and meaningful rituals and traditions with our worship, like lighting the Advent wreath, the Christmas cantata. And for me, the highlight is the Christmas Eve service where we sing Silent Night and light candles. Rituals, though, are not limited to just what happens at church. I think every family has their own set of rituals that make this time of year meaningful. Some families always put up their Christmas tree and decorate their homes on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Others set aside time to bake cookies, or watch a favorite Christmas movie, or visit relatives. In my family, we always go to Starbucks on the morning of Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas morning, the youngest person in the family always reads Luke chapter 2. Now, rituals are important because they help us make sense of life and connect us to something greater than ourselves. In fact, we weave rituals into many of the most important moments in life. Just consider all the rituals that we have that mark different life transitions. We have rituals for weddings and funerals. We have rituals for birthdays and anniversaries. We have rituals for graduations and job promotions. Now, rituals connect us with other people. They help us experience life more fully. They help us navigate the hard parts in life. And they connect us with God. Right after the angel Gabriel rocked Mary's world with the news that she would conceive a child and give birth to the Son of God, she turned to an important ritual. It was the simple ritual of visiting family so she could share the news of her pregnancy. And she felt an urgency to do this. The scripture says she even went with haste. Now, Mary was in a hurry because life felt chaotic and unsettled. After all, she had been planning her wedding to Joseph. She was looking forward to setting up a household with him and establishing herself in a new role as a wife. But now, those plans were in jeopardy. Now, Mary probably had her doubts about how things would work out, and I'm sure she was afraid. In her culture, people didn't look favorably on unwed pregnant women. What would people say about her? How would she be treated? And what kind of punishment might she face? Her heart was weighed down with these heavy questions. So she paid a visit to her cousin Elizabeth, which is a ritual that has stood the test of time. You see, when women get pregnant, they often visit with family. My wife spent a lot of time with her mom when she was first pregnant with Ava. And then there were baby showers where aunts and cousins gathered together to mark our significant moment. Families like to gather together in times like this to talk and to even make plans. Visiting Elizabeth helped Mary make sense of what was happening. It helped her survive and make it through a very confusing time. After all, Mary's world had been turned upside down. And given those circumstances, she needed to talk to someone she could trust. And she needed someone who could empathize with her. Elizabeth was the perfect person for this because she was also pregnant. And like Mary, she was pregnant unexpectedly. She was much older than Mary, and because of her age, no one thought she would ever have a child. So just imagine the overwhelming feelings of both joy and stress that filled her heart. On one hand, Elizabeth was thrilled to finally have a child to love and care for. But on the other hand, she was going to take on the exhausting duties of motherhood. She probably wondered if she could handle it. Would she have enough energy? Would she be able to manage everything? And like Mary, Elizabeth would even face ridicule from her community. People would have said, "Aren't you too old to have a baby?" So both Elizabeth and Mary needed compassion and care. And they both helped each other. And for both women, the ritual of visiting with family gave them the support they needed. But it was something much more than just a family get-together. It was more than sharing news and comforting each other. Mary and Elizabeth used their time together to open themselves to the presence of God. And the result was an outpouring of joy and praise for God's presence in their lives. Now, Elizabeth even felt her baby leap for joy in her womb, and she was overwhelmed with an insight into Mary's child that was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not lost on me that during this unsettling time, both Elizabeth and Mary experienced joy, which helps us see the power of rituals. Of course, not every ritual has this kind of power, but when we approach a ritual with intention and attention to God, we can experience something truly divine that helps us and gives us direction and meaning. Now, we've been living in one crazy year, and the days leading up to Christmas feel no less crazy. But when we use our rituals, when we use our Christmas rituals with intention and attention to God, we will tap into a power that connects us with the Lord. And through that connection, we will find help to move through the most hectic and hardest moments in life, and we'll even discover joy. Mary's visit to Elizabeth enabled both of them to tap into joy at a moment when they were dealing with the stress of unexpected pregnancies. The ritual of visiting with family was a source of great help as they tried to make sense of the changes that were happening in their lives. And Mary responded to all of this by delivering one of the most beautiful songs of praise that we have in Scripture. Her song is known as the Magnificat. You'll find it in verses 46 through 55 of the passage that I read. This song is a vivid example of the unexpected beauty and inspiration that can emerge when we intentionally seek God and give the Lord our undivided attention. This is what Mary did. She refused to panic when she learned that she would be pregnant with the Son of God, and instead, she responded with faith and trust. Mary could have easily been overcome by stress and fear, and it wouldn't have surprised anyone if she had gotten depressed. But her visit with Elizabeth helped her focus on God. It enabled her to discover her destiny as the mother of our Lord, and that put her in touch with joy. In fact, both Elizabeth and Mary rejoiced in the children that they were carrying in their wombs. They knew these children were gifts from God, and they celebrated. That's when Mary burst into song. She sang in verses 46 through 48, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Now, God could have selected a queen or a princess to be the mother of our Lord, but that's not what happened. Instead, God chose a simple, humble teenager from Galilee and transformed her into the mother of the Lord and transformed her whole outlook on life. She realized she had nothing to fear because God was with her. In her song, Mary proclaims, "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." In saying that God fills the hungry with good things, Mary is reminding us in her own way that when we live with a focus on God, when we actively seek the Lord, and when we use our rituals with intention and attention to God, we will be filled. God will help us. God will meet us in our time of need. And this is a message of intentionally seeking God that we hear later from Jesus. And Jesus said, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Now, in all this talk about rituals, let's remember that they're not an end to themselves. We don't practice and repeat our rituals for the sake of doing what we've always done. Instead, rituals are a tool that help us make sense of life. They help connect us to others. They help us experience life more fully. But most importantly, they help connect us to God. Our Christian faith offers a variety of rituals and spiritual practices like prayer, meditation, scripture reading, and worship that help us in all these ways and more. These things help us navigate life's toughest moments. They even help us as we grieve what we've lost during this Christmas season. And when we practice our rituals with intention and attention to God, we will inevitably want to respond to the Lord. After visiting Elizabeth, Mary responded by embracing her role as God's servant. She had faith that the Lord was going to work in a mighty way through the baby that she was carrying. Now, the child that she gave birth to would also see himself as a servant. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And he even challenged his disciples to serve in all that they do. Now, the rituals of our faith are powerful because they lead us to serve. And when we serve others, our spirits are lifted. When we serve others, we find fulfillment. When we serve others, we discover joy. And when we serve others, we find freedom, freedom from living selfish lives. As you move through this Christmas season, I encourage you to look at your rituals in a fresh way. You may even want to create some new ones and see that they can be powerful when they're lived with intention and attention to God. They're powerful because they lead us to God, and God leads us to serve. So my question for you is, in what ways can you serve during this Christmas season? Who can you help? Now, serving others doesn't have to be some big earth-shattering thing. Really, it's just about seeing a need and then helping in whatever way you can. That's what Elizabeth did for Mary and what Mary did for Elizabeth. And when we do the same, we will encounter the Lord and our spirits will rejoice in God, who has looked with favor on all of us. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Oh God, we are thankful that you meet us in the midst of everyday life, but we confess that we don't always pay attention. And so today we pray that we will live with more intention and attention to you. We know this is important because when we live with this kind of focus, we will experience life more fully. We'll understand more clearly what our purpose is, and we'll discover the deep joy that comes through our fellowship with Jesus Christ. We are grateful for that, all that you have done for us, and that you've made this possible through your Son. And it is in his holy name that we pray. Amen.